Well, this is not the way we wanted to start the new year 2025 with a terrorist attack in New Orleans with a driver killing 10 people in the street and injuring, as I read, 35 others. And of course, we pray for the families who have lost loved ones and for those who are hopefully recovering from their injuries and their families and their concern. But this is a sad reminder that we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and as Christians, what are we to do? Well, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and reflect the light of Christ, Philippians 2:12-16. And we are to hold on to the truth if we have it. There's an ever-present danger of letting the truth slip away by getting caught up in the cultural changes of our beloved country. And we should know these changes as they've been going on for some time, sad to say. Well, falling away usually does not occur all of a sudden, does it? No, but over a period of time. And so as we turn to God's Word, we notice there are many warnings which should get our attention. For example, Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. They were wanting to go back under the old law, the law of Moses, which could not save anyone. We need to be under the law of Christ in obedience. We are under it, whether we obey or not, but we need to be in obedience to the law of Christ and not fall from grace. Look at 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. Does this not get our attention? What happens if we have the truth and let it go? Let it slip away. It's worse. It will be worse, yes, in this case. And notice Hebrews 3:12. Well, the whole chapter is dealing with not falling into unbelief. But notice verse 12 of Hebrews 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And we could just go on and on with warnings in God's Word. And so as we study this morning, do not let the truth slip away. Let's keep in mind Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So it comes down to this, what is more valuable than our soul and having the truth, living by it? Well, no matter what the cost, let us never be seduced into selling it. And let us be determined never, never, never let the truth slip away. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And the initials, PFE, helps us to remember. That's what we should be doing every day. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern. And something else we want to mention. Well, you're going to receive a warm welcome. I can guarantee you that. And here's something else. If you are interested in having a Bible study, we would love to sit down together and open up God's Word at your convenience, so let us know. Also, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151, or the office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Do not let the truth slip away. As last Lord's Day, we studied what is truth, and certainly we need to understand it is the Word of God. And once we learn the truth, let's hold on to it with all our might. Now, I want us to notice the identifying marks of our cultural changes. They've been going on for some time, and we should be aware of these, but we may need to be reminded. So let's consider seven of these identifying marks of our cultural changes. Number one, there has been a growing lack of respect for authority. And of course, this goes on throughout the history of mankind, as man doesn't heed to God's word. But in particular, in our country, we're seeing a growing lack of respect of authority, as it, of course, starts in the home with the parent-child relationship. Who should be in charge? Who is the disciplinarian? And we understand that is so vitally important for a child to understand respect for their parents and the authority the parents have. And then, of course, when they go to school, the teacher-pupil relationship, there needs to be a respect of authority with the government. All of us as good citizens obeying the laws of the land, unless they go against God's law, of course. And certainly we need to have a respect for law enforcement, our police officers who put their lives on the line. We need to respect their authority. And then, of course, it comes down to the most important aspect here, and that is respecting God's Word, the authority of the New Testament pattern, the law of Christ that we're all under. Now, ask yourselves, what happens when the rule of law is lost? Chaos. Well, we don't want to move away from God's law, do we? We certainly need to respect the authority of the Scriptures and be able to give a scriptural backing for what we do in our worship services in accordance to God's will. And, of course, all the things that go along in serving God faithfully. But, you know, people want freedom from the restraints of God's law. They want to be free to commit sin. In other words, they want to be their own God. As Satan said to Eve, ye shall be as gods, Genesis 3:5. That, of course, was the pride of life, one of the three temptations that he used against Eve. And, of course, we understand what happened after she gave in to the temptation. Well, notice Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3, as this relates. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Well, this is quoted in Acts 4, 25 and 26. Well, let us ask, why do they rage? Well, it's because of deception. a desire, lust for power, pride, the pride of life, as we just saw with Eve, and feeling self-sufficient. They do not want God's restraints. How many people are in this situation today? But let us go on. Number two, another identifying mark of our cultural changes, there has been a growing lack of discipline and self-control. Well, instead of self-denial, more people prefer what? Self-indulgence. Regardless of what God's word prohibits, as you study Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32, you'll see quite a list of sins. And when you get down to verse 32, those who take pleasure in those that are doing these sins, they're just as guilty. That's sinning too. So we don't want to certainly be in that situation, but we want to deny self. In order to follow Christ, we're going to have to do that. As Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily. Not once a week, but daily, and follow me. Are we denying ourselves? Are we putting to death anything that stands in our way of putting God's kingdom first, the church, and of course following Christ? This is not an optional matter. Well, let's go on. Number three, there has been a growing attraction for the agnostic view of what is truth. Now, we talked about this last week, but it bears repeating. This is now referred to as postmodernism by some, but actually Pilate had this view, as we noted before, John 18:37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness, notice, unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We better be hearing the voice of Christ through the word that he has spoken that's recorded in our Bible, the New Testament. But let's go on. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? In other words, he didn't expect an answer, because you see, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all, but yet he allowed him to be crucified. Shows you what kind of man he was. But he didn't think the answer could be given. What is truth? Just as so many today think that truth is subjective and relative. Well, our young people are even being taught this. Instead of being understanding that the truth is absolute. Yes, truth is absolute and objective, just as the Bible teaches. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. As Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In Ephesians 4:21, the truth is in Jesus. 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is truth, capital S. And so we need to appreciate truth is absolute and objective. Now, denominations seem to not realize when they are accepting other denominations in their fellowship that teach opposite doctrinal beliefs. Well, that's an agnostic view, whether they realize it or not. And that's not going to be acceptable unto God. We can know the truth. Jesus said so. And let's never forget that. But let's go on. Number four. In our identifying marks of our cultural changes, there has been a growing concern of being too judgmental. And what does this lead to? It leads to decaying moral absolutes. And we've seen this be, for some time now. our children are receiving an indoctrination in their public school classroom. Not all of them. No, but how many are doing this? It's staggering. And you know, you can see that they're trying to get across that we need to be tolerant with folks, except when it comes to Christianity. They want to be tolerant with the Muslim belief and discuss it in the classroom in order to help the children become tolerant. But when someone says that homosexuality, transgenderism, dressing up, you know, in the opposite sex, transvestites, behavior, when that is said to be sinful, what is the reaction? It's not that we are wanting to hurt these people. No, it's just the opposite. We want to help them get out of sin. But if they don't understand they're in sin, they're certainly not going to get out of it. And this is being promoted. This is certainly going on for some time, is it not? Already in many public schools, children are being conditioned to accept ungodly sexual perversions as normal behavior. And we are to be aware of this, certainly. But let's go on. Number five, there has been a growing attitude of being materialistic. And what this leads to for members of the Lord's church, a very slippery slope. And that results in forgetting God when we become too materialistic, forgetting that we are to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and knowing that all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. So what are we seeking first? Are we giving as we have been prospered with a cheerful heart? 2 Corinthians 9:7. For example, are we making up our contributions when the Sunday services are canceled due to ice, some weather conditions beyond our, you know, able to get out? Okay. But the contribution still needs to be made the next Lord's Day. Or what happens when we go on vacation? Are we leaving our contribution? Certainly that needs to be done and not become so materialistic, as so many have fallen into this trap of Satan. But let's go on. Number six, there has been a growing desire for improper entertainment. Well, all of us need to take self-inventory here, certainly myself included. And this is trying to find meaning through fleshy stimulation. Let me ask this. How many hours a day are we in front of the TV or playing games? In Ephesians 5:16, you see, we need to be redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We need a wake-up call, do we not? Most of us may be, you know, spending way too much time and not taking advantage of opportunities to have Bible studies, time of prayer, doing good works of righteousness, helping others in need, encouraging our brethren, and certainly attending faithfully all the services and supporting gospel meetings and so forth. Now, what are we doing with our time? Well, that's, again, for us all to take self-inventory, is it not? Well, let's go on. Number seven, there has been a growing desire in developing a utopian society. Well, this has been going on for some time, but again, this old philosophy, as it began many years after true paradise was lost. You see, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were cast out of the garden and no longer had access to the tree of life. And that's never going to be found again on the earth. Of course not. But the far left in this country, they believe that paradise can be here on earth. They're deceived, of course. But you know they're determined to push their agenda, as this gives them meaning to their lives. And they're not about to give up their position or turn loose of their false ideology. Oh, no. Not very many of them have come out of it, not saying that they couldn't. With the gospel of Christ accepted, they could. But so many believe it's possible to establish a one-world government. As you watch Star Trek, for example, where the Earth has a one-world government, you know, those kind of things in the movies and TV shows, but it's never going to happen. That's not going to be possible. You know, going back to 1516, Thomas More's Utopia, that's when it was published. People have continued down through the years again and again to bring this up. And you have systems of governing people as communism, socialism. The influence of George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, he influenced Karl Marx, yes, and Charles Darwin in his thinking you could have two opposing things and they produce something better, you know, that kind of thing he came up with. Well, anyway, the point is, so many think you can have paradise on the earth, and it's certainly a falsehood. Many of our elected politicians are currently advocating and advancing socialistic views openly. Yes, we find that, do we not, in some examples like the Squad, as they're pushing these false views on society. That will never occur. Paradise will never be established on this earth because it was lost when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Yes, look at Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, special angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. It was lost. And we need to seek out the tree of life where? In heaven. But as we now want to turn our attention to examining ourselves, how can I be sure, Bob Hawkins, that I'm not letting the truth slip away? Can I honestly answer yes to the following questions? Number one, do I respect God's divine nature as I learn from His divine revelation to man? Well, we should understand that we are a free moral agent. God gives us the ability to choose to do His will or not to do His will. Notice I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Shouldn't be a difficult choice there. Well, Jesus gives this invitation in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's with sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Compared to the burden of sin, of course it is. That's the invitation of the Lord. Have we accepted it? Question number two. Do I love God above everything else? And that includes family. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, Jesus said in Matthew 10:37. And notice, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:36-40. So let us be determined that nothing will separate our love for God. Look at Romans 8:35-39 with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's consider our love for Christ in this passage. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, are we conquerors or the conquered? Number three, do I love the truth and respect the Lord's authority? Am I staying with the Scriptures? If we compromise the truth, we no longer are respecting, of course, the law of Christ, nor His authority. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father by Him. We need to understand name here means authority. We must have scriptural authority for what we say and do. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Proverbs 3:3. Question number four. Do I desire to please God over others and myself? Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian churches. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whose friend am I? Whose friend are we? Well, as we close out our study this morning, Bob Hawkins, are you determined to be faithful unto death? Or have I allowed these cultural changes to become an evil influence on me? All of us, let's ask ourselves that. Am I practicing self-discipline by having proper thoughts and having my priorities in order, or am I giving in to temptation? Do I study God's Word and pray daily, or have I let these influences allow me to turn loose of the truth, let it slip away? It's not too late to repent and buy it back. Certainly, we need to do so before it's too late if we're in that situation. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you don't have the truth. And so we need to hear the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of our sins. Make the good confession unto salvation. And then be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, as we see in Acts 2:38. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how we submit to His authority. Acts 22:16 makes that clear. And then we're to live faithfully, even unto death. We'll receive the victory and the crown. Revelation 2:10, when we obey the gospel, the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful, even unto death, we'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.